Yep. You already know what time it is, man. It's your girl POC back 900 AM WRD 96.1 Word Radio each and every Friday. Bring you that greener, safer Philadelphia conversation from 10 AM to 11 AM. Make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend. Click that link in the bio, take you directly where you need to be. We're always live on Word TV, so you can see my face as well as my guest's beautiful face. And you can always give us a call, join in on the conversation. We always want you to be engaged in everything we do. And don't forget, you can always download the Word Radio app in your Google Play stores and your Apple stores today, so you can listen to Word Radio all day long. And don't forget, we just dropped a new podcast every Wednesday on Spotify. So we definitely want you to tap into that. Subscribe to our Spotify, subscribe to our YouTube, and definitely subscribe to our newsletter so you can stay locked with all the recaps, exclusive interviews, and so much more. And don't forget, we are on the verge of raising $20,000 here to save Black Talk Media at WRD. So please donate, donate, donate. Go to wordradio.com/donate now to do so. We appreciate everyone who has given thus far, but we want you to continue to give so we can keep these radio airwaves alive here at WRD. But you already know we got a jam-packed show here at Eco Word, man. Everything we do is a FUBU effect. It's for you and about you. And I'm really excited to be speaking with this young advocate and activist in the city of Philadelphia. She recently just made, some noise, and it caught my attention, and I appreciate people who are really doing the work in the city, but doing the work for the people, doing the work for the service of the people, right? So we got Jasmine Evans on the line, aka Jay, with us right now. And she's loud and she's proud. Jay, go ahead and introduce yourself for the people who are listening.
Hey everybody. My name is Jay. I am an activist. Well, I can't speak today in the area, along with a PhD student at Temple University, Africology. And yeah, I'm just out here really trying to do the work for the people.
I love it. And I feel like now is even more of the time where, connecting these intersections of public health and environmental justice is even more important, right? Because you see so many rollbacks happening in Black and brown communities. You see what's happening with, prices going up. You see what's happening as far as the Medicaid and SNAP getting cut. And I think that these things are really going to crumble a lot of the infrastructure as far as the internal structures that we have within our communities, for sure. And I wanted to, before we get into, one of the reasons why I brought you all, because you were being loud this week about some things that was happening with Temple. But I want to just break down a little bit about your story and how you got here.
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, I'm a patient myself. I'm sorry, I don't know. Did you hear the train go
No,
by?
you're fine. You're
Okay,
fine.
I just wanted to make sure we could cut that portion out. But so I'm a patient first and foremost. I had a kidney transplant July 4th, 2023. And before that, I was on dialysis for 4 years, diagnosed with kidney disease at 17 years old. So I've been in the medical system. I grew up in the medical system. And so I know what it means to traverse this like path and not really having people to guide you. And that kind of already radicalized me a little bit, right? But it really took me getting a letter in the mail one day from UNOS, and they said, we used a racially biased algorithm to determine our care for you. And that actually took 4 years away from me on the kidney transplant list. And so, with me being a PhD student, I had access to a lot of the materials that, some people don't. So, I was able to go to like the New England Journal of Medicine and do all of this research about how we even came to be in this place and how algorithms are used to really reinforce these systemic and racial barriers. And I was just like, yeah, no, if I can put a stop to this, or if I can be a part of that conversation, that's exactly what I'm gonna do, because I want to make sure the next person does not have to go through what I went through. And so I really just devoted my research to that. And then that's where we got the idea for We Got Us, which is a health pop-up screening series that basically brings help to community, especially like young Black and brown folks. We're not thinking about chronic illness or terminal illnesses or end-stage illnesses until it affects us. But the trend is that we are the demographics that are being diagnosed with this more and more every year. But a lot of these screenings are not targeted towards us. So like, for
Or
example,
even available.
or even available to us, right? And so Our first one was the mammogram and HPV edition, right? It's easy to get an HPV screening, but for a mammogram, you have to be 40 plus or 35 with a family history. But there's a lot of women in their 20s who do not have a family history who are being diagnosed. And so I really just wanted to bring light to that to let people know, like, hey, this is something that's going on. And like understanding the importance of proactive health resources and not reactive. And so for me, I wanted to call these hospital systems on, their pledges to community and breaking down these systemic barriers, especially with everything that's going on in this country right now. And it's like, listen, this is a perfect opportunity for you to actually be there and be present in these communities. So we've been able to interface with a lot of them. Some of them are actually with what they say. Others are definitely not. And for me, I'm not afraid to call people to the floor. And so when they're not, I'm like, you're not. And the community needs to know this.
And I'm grateful that you're not, because you have been through a lot already. And the fact that you still want to fight for other patients, and I'm grateful that you were able to be here today and survive the things that was going on with you. And then still want to put in that extra oomph. You know what I mean? Sometimes people were like, oh, I got my treatment, I'm good, I'm gonna fall back because I'm taken care of, and we don't necessarily pass the baton to make sure the next person is taken care of. So I appreciate that work. And this makes me want to ask a question really quick about Crozier, the Chester Medical Center, that just closed as well. How do you feel like that's going to impact? Well, it's already impacting people, but in your opinion, since you're doing the work, how has it impacted? Let me rephrase my question, people so far.
Yeah, absolutely. So Crozier is just the latest in these like strings of hospitals closing down. I remember when Hahnemann closed down a few years ago, right? And that hospital is centrally placed to where, those like few minutes that really do influence like someone's care if they're having a medical emergency, like, they may not have time to go to Temple. They may not have time to go to Jefferson or Penn or a Crozier, even though like that's not available anymore. And we really are seeing the effects, like people are suffering because of it. I remember seeing a video of, I believe they were doing something at Crozier where people were still there, but a woman was having like a medical emergency. Well,
And
her
she wasn't able to get in,
Yeah, and her child was literally having a medical emergency, and the people on the ground decided to care for that child. But it's like people need these services. And when we continue to allow corporations whose only concern is their bottom dollar to really start to affect the care of people, it feels like we're losing the plot, right? Like healthcare, it's not about the bottom dollar. Like people have a right to live. They have a right to quality, adequate care. And it really honestly just like boils my blood when I think that we're letting people who want to buy another yacht or, just want to continue to hoard this wealth, and not caring about the people that it's actually affecting.
And one thing that I learned too, a lot of people who own majority of these hospitals are not even in the medical field. They're in
Not at
the
all.
tech industry, and they just have the money to provide for people to buy these hospital buildings, and then they third party it to hospital officials and things like, or how should I say this, medical officials, and things
Absolutely.
like that. And I'm learning more about it as I see more hospitals in urban neighborhoods and low income neighborhoods closing, and more urgent, I mean not urban, urgent care. Let me get that correct. More urgent care centers are popping up, and urgent care centers are not. It's a beautiful thing because we need them because we don't have the way to get to these hospitals sometimes, or the money to purchase things when we're in the hospital, right? So when you
But you
think
can't
of,
rely on urgent care, though.
I was
That's
just about to
the
say
thing.
that. I was just about to say, so do you think that, I started to think these urgent cares like dollar stores. They just keep popping up. Like you see a dollar store and an urgent care and a liquor store, like they just come together, and I feel like they're always in our environments, always in our neighborhoods. Talk to me a little about it in your opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, I believe that that's an amazing analogy for it, right? It's kind of like a dollar store healthcare in
Yeah.
a lot of ways. But the thing is, if we really want to sustain health and wellness, it's going to take more than an urgent care. People need a primary care physician,
Yes.
but that requires some sort of insurance, right? Something to pay these people that's going to require you being able to see a specialist if you need to be able to get the lab work that you need to get. And it's not just on the medical side of things. It also goes into, are these people living in food deserts? Do they
Yeah.
have access to nutritious, healthy food? What other
The air
resources?
quality,
The air quality,
the
like
water that they're drinking.
the whole environmentalism piece of it, it's so integrated with each other. But you see that each and every single one of these aspects are controlled by people who, as you said, have nothing to do with the actual work that's being done. So, for example, whenever we talk about food deserts and grocery stores, that is managed by these people who probably don't even have anything or like any prior knowledge in nutrition and things of that nature. They just want to sell things at a high profit, but get it at a low cost, right? Whenever we talk about environmentalism and the rise of AI and these tech companies that are building these data centers near Black
Yes.
and Brown communities or rural communities, it's like you guys aren't caring about the people that you are impacting. And I think that's what's missing here is care for the actual people that are going to be impacted.
I love it. And Jasmine, and again, for those who are just tuning in, you're listening to Jasmine Evans, aka Jay. She's also the founder of a business here in the city of Philadelphia. Tell us the name of the business one more time.
So we have like a business, like my own personal business for like if I'm doing like speaking engagements or anything like that, that's J Media. But under that, we do have an initiative that called We
We
Got Us.
got us. Yep.
Yeah, so We Got Us, the health pop-up series. It basically bridges the gap between health resources and community. So how can we bring these things together that's engaging and in a way that people want to come? Like, I'm not gonna lie to you, I've been to a lot of health fairs. They're not fun. They don't really make you want to come or like make you want to stay. It's like, I'm just gonna come get this screening and then I'm leaving. We want to actually make it interactive where people see themselves and they're having a good time. So, for example, with the mammogram and HPV edition, we have yoga sessions. We have Zoom
Awesome.
where people can move their bodies. We have like a self-care and affirmation station where, we're speaking life into each other. We have a panel where, medical professionals and patients and advocates can come together and really talk about these things from our own perspectives. So it's really about making healthcare sexy in a sense, but also like making it for us.
I love it. I love it. And when you talk about these mobile pop-up screenings, right? How would you say they are effective and productive in our neighborhoods as they come around?
Yeah, absolutely. So they're very effective. The more that we do get people out, the more that we are starting to see that people are taking more interest in their health, and we are actually empowering people to say, I can take this active role in my healthcare journey. It's not just about, a physician telling you what you need to do. It's also you letting that physician know, like, what your needs are, and you are always going to leave a We Got Us screening with some sort of tool to take with you as you continue your journey on. And so we really want to make sure that people are leaving our spaces feeling empowered and having something to actually continue that journey forward.
I love that. And I want to get into the video because we got about 10 minutes left. And I want to get into the video where you were actually, calling out Temple University, the hospital, because of the lack of community engagement. And one of the things that they said that they were going to do was make sure that they actually have community engagement to help with the community surrounding when it comes to any kind of health issues that they're dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely. So going back to the mammogram and HPV edition, so we actually had we it was scheduled to be on the 14th, but we had to postpone it to the 28th, because our original provider, Jefferson, their mobile van broke down, which that's like a whole nother story. So we are reaching out to other hospital systems just to see, like if someone could take their place or what have you. So we end up talking with Fox Chase, their mobile mammogram service. And, the people can go and find who is responsible for that one. But we called her, we talked to her. First, someone from my team called, and the woman was very rude and was just like, "I'm gonna get straight to the point. We don't do this. I don't do it. It's not my personal preference. I can't help you out." So I was like, okay, let me give her a call. So I gave her a call, very nice, all of that great stuff. I explained to her like what we do, the position that we're in. And she was like, "Well, just like I told your associate, I don't do community health programs because I don't really personally, I do not like them." And so I'm like, "Okay, tell me more because I'm trying to get more information." And she's like, "We only like to partner with people or with primary care physicians because they already have this, is that, and the third, and it's just easier for us to streamline." And I was like, "Well, you're not necessarily for community. If that's the case, this isn't a community program, because you're not actually going out into the community." I told her, a lot of people here in Philadelphia do not
Don't
have
have a primary.
the resources to get a primary care physician,
That's
including
true.
insurance and things that of that nature, let alone in this entire country, especially when we talk about the attacks on Medicare and Medicaid and things of that nature. And then, there was like some backtracking that started to happen, like, "Oh, well, we can send someone out to table or what have you." But it was all of these like different reasons that they were giving that really meant nothing. I call it, instead of like comparing apples and oranges, it's like you're comparing apples and tampons. Like, it's outside the scope of this situation. And at the end of the call, we really just had to tell her, like, it's very clear that even though you are branded as a community outreach program, you are not that. And we cannot see any way for us to align. And that really frustrated me because there are so many of these hospital systems that, are
Completely
outwardly,
taking over the city.
completely taking over the city, but they are outwardly saying, like, we are committed to health equity. We are committed to community. We're committed to taking down these systemic barriers. But in practice, you're not, because if you're letting your own personal feelings dictate how an entire community receives care, you are a part of the problem. And it made me want to speak out. Speaking with my team and people in my community, that's an echo chamber, right? Like, we can all say the same exact things, but I think that we need to start having these conversations in public and out loud and really calling these people to the floor, because it's either you're going to do what you say that you are here to do, or you're going to move out of the way and let other people do it. And so that was really the focus of us wanting to call that out.
I love it. And just on an average, how many health screenings do you think you need to have in order for people to maintain a successful rate of actually being able to see someone for care, right? Because like you said, a lot
Sure.
of us don't have, and Philadelphia is known for one of the biggest poorest cities in America, right? So
Absolutely.
that shows already where we are as far as the people who are actually going to the doctors, who are actually going to a physician, right? So my question I want to ask you is, how many screenings do a person or residents ha actually have to get in order to feel like they actually had adequate health care for the year, because technically you're supposed to go to the doctor to get a physical at least once a quarter, right? So when it comes down to a health screen, it's a little different, So how does the people, cope with that, combat with that if they don't have Medicaid or health care in general?
Yeah, absolutely. So you are right, right? Like, everything does start with a physical, but a lot of times you need a primary care
To
physician
do
to
that, yeah.
even get that physical, right? So for those who do
Or
not
you
have
can keep going to urgent cares and seeing somebody different every time.
every single time, and they just put a band-aid on a symptom, but not necessarily curing the condition or disease. My advice to people who are not insured or who do not have, or underinsured, or do not have a primary care or a PCP, take all of the screenings that you can and that are at your disposal. There's not even a number to say, everything that you can, you want to be able to rule out every single little thing. So if you qualify for it and they're willing to see you, get it done. So whether it's high blood pressure, a diabetes screening, anything of those natures, because those are kind of like the bigger symptoms of things, definitely go ahead and get those. If you know that you're in the age range to get a mammogram or a prostate screening, get those screenings if they are available to you. My whole thing is I would rather you tell me no than for me not to ask, and that could have been a yes, right? So I always say ask the questions, go to every single screening that you can, because you want to be able to rule out things, you know? So all of them.
I
That's
love that.
for all of them.
I love it. I love it. And my last question I want to ask you before we wrap up. And again, I appreciate you making time for us this morning on WRD. When it comes down to just the environmental justice section and the intersection of public health, right? What can we talk to, or what can we say to our elected officials, right, to actually help with this reoccurring issue? Because the intersection is becoming emerging so deep, where, like I said, I feel like it's crumbling our infrastructure within our environments and within internally within us as people, Black and Brown folks. So what can we say to our elected officials to make sure that we are holding, these big organizations accountable when it comes to public health? Because public
Absolutely.
health is an effect of public safety, in my opinion.
No, it is 100%. I think we need to stop having these conversations in private and start having them more so in public, right? So I've interfaced with a lot of different elected officials and things of that nature where they understand these things are happening, but it's not necessarily personal to them. They're not seeing like the humanizing side of this, like, it's this broad issue, but there's a whole bunch of other issues that are going on. We have to make enough noise and continue making noise and putting pressure on them to say this is something that is happening and we need your attention to it. So anytime that I'm in front of an elected official, I'm letting them know, hey, we need funding for screenings. We need more organizations to put on screenings. We need your help to get these institutions to do what they need to do. And it's going to take more than my voice. It's going to take a whole bunch of different voices in doing that. And so I always tell people, like, We Got Us is not the only organization that's out there putting on health screenings. Find the people in your community who are making noise and continue to amplify their voices. Anytime you see one of these elected officials, get in their face and say, listen, I need a few minutes of your time and you're not going to tell me no. Yeah, we're going to talk about this. And I think the more that we continue to talk about it and continue making noise, we'll be able to break through a little bit more, and have our voices be heard as well.
And it's so crazy to me, Jasmine, because I feel like we are fighting for something that should be a right. Healthcare should be a right for everyone. But then if you go down the road into, Chester County, or you cross a little bit over to Montgomery County, they don't have these type of issues where they're fighting for healthcare, because they have adequate hospitals, they have adequate medical centers around them that can help, they have any, dire need or any medical issues or risk. So it's just very it's not strange and it's not confusing, but it's just an eye opener to know that we're still in a fight for, just adequate health care. But Jasmine, I appreciate the work that you're doing, the advocacy work that you're doing, getting out there. We got us. Thank you for starting that foundation, to help people
Absolutely.
in the city of Philadelphia. Tell people how I can find you, stay logged, social media, website, all that good stuff.
Yes, absolutely. So you can find me at my Instagram. I'm not Jazzy. I am NOTJAZE. Also, We Got Us is live over at jmedia.llc over on Instagram, our website, www.jasmineevans.com. The mammogram and HPV edition will be June 28th
I love
at
it.
One Arts Community Center. So please come out for that.
West Philly.
And then we have our prostate edition, which we are teaming up with a run club here in
Thank
the
you
area.
for not
It's a run
forgetting
club.
about our men. Thank you so
Yes,
much.
and also the men as well, because it's going to take all of us, right?
Yes.
And so we have other health screenings that are coming down the pipeline. So please, tap in with us and the other organizations that are still doing the work as well. Tap in with us as well, because it's going to take all of us together.
No doubt. Please send me the flyers if you have any or any information so I can post it myself. I would love to, put
Absolutely.
that out there. I
Thank you so
appreciate you
much.
again, Jasmine. Thank you so
I
much for
thank
the work
you.
that you're doing.
Thank you.
And I look forward to staying connected with you. And I hope you have a great weekend.
Absolutely. You too. Thank
No
you.
doubt. Peace.
Bye.
You already know what time it is, man. It's your girl POC. We about to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, we got more of a jam-packed show. Eco word, eco word, eco word.